2 Corinthians chapter 9.
This evening we'll be reading verses 1 through 15. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 1 through 15. These are God's words, so let's give our attention to them for His glory. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me, and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, that they would go before unto you, and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he has purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Those are God's words. And so here the apostle presses the church zealously to their duty of charity, love, through verse 5. And then through the rest of the passage, he's giving directions of the righteous way and manner of fulfilling this duty of giving. We learn here the principles of giving, of which we have covered recently and have been encouraged to give faithfully. And so here, verse 6, you see it says, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And then verse 7, we learn that we should give what we have purposed in our heart. And yet with understanding, if we go back to verse 6, if we sow little, we will reap little. If we sow much, we will reap much. We should not be forced to give. No one's going to force you to give. But when we do give, it should not be with resentment or with a grudge to God or to man about it. You know, if we are giving for a case of someone in need, giving to them, the Lord makes you aware of that. We should not hold a grudge against that person who has need. And we should not think also that God needs anything that we give. He does not. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. But the Lord loves when we give cheerfully, because it shows our faith. And He loves the faith of His people. The Lord promises to those who do give that the Lord will provide for you. And that His grace is sufficient and abounds unto His faithful ones. Not only does He promise here that those who give much will reap bountifully, or much, not only physically, always being supplied, Verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes us thanksgiving to God. But also, it is to our spiritual benefit and blessing as well to express our faith in God and giving, knowing He will provide for our every need. Well, God's people, let's turn to the Lord in prayer and seek His face. Our Father, thank You once again for Your Word. Thankful as You continue to teach us about giving. Father, how we must give. We must give for Your worship to continue, as we've studied before. But here may it be that we, when we contemplate giving and giving of what You have given to us first, knowing You provide every single dollar, every single penny, all of our homes and vehicles and clothing, everything You provide to us. And Father, of that we give to You. Not that You need it, but we give so that Your name would be praised and worshipped, that this congregation would continue as You desire the church to expand the kingdom, Your kingdom, to expand throughout the whole world. And Father, we desire that the churches would continue to be built up, and this congregation would continue to be built up, that another church could be planted, and the gospel be taken to the ends of the earth, even as You have worked through us, Lord willing. So Father, we pray that You would make us to be cheerful givers, and to do so voluntarily, knowing and desiring to receive Your worship, and to be blessed in having that privilege to come and be called to worship You in the courts of the Lord. And Father, we do pray also, we pray for those things that we have given, that they would be made good use of this Lord's Day as well, this Saturday, when we have the parade and the booth to evangelize. We pray that You would call many sinners to repentance in our time there, that You would be working in us by Your Spirit to call sinners to repent, to tell people of the good news of Jesus Christ, to hand out invitations to worship You faithfully, truly, according to Your Word, as we invite people to come and worship with us here on the Lord's Day. We pray that You would bring fruit from this ministry, this opportunity we have to share the gospel, and pray that You would be with all of us, that Your name would be praised, and that You would bring forth fruit even from our conversations. Father, may You grow Your kingdom. We do not desire merely to grow because people from other churches come to our church. But Father, we desire that the church, the kingdom, would grow by sinners acknowledging their sin before You and turning in faith to Jesus Christ, Your Son. That's how we desire, along with what You've taught us in Your Word, for the church and the kingdom to grow, and this congregation to grow, first and foremost. And so, Father, we pray that You would be with us. We pray that You would go ahead of us and convict people in their hearts, make them to be ready to hear, and that there would be few or none who would be judged because of how they respond to hearing the gospel, but that they would rather be received of You, and they would not rebel, but that they would see the light and receive Your grace by Your Spirit. And so save them, even Your elect, and those whom we come in contact with, that we pray, above all things, that Your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we do pray for our nation. This morning we heard that righteousness exalts a nation. But Father, our nation is far from that, but has gone into its sins, and many sins and rebelled against you, rebelled against the King, Jesus Christ, and they have, we have, our citizens of this nation have said, no, we are King. We the people are King. And Father, that is so far from the truth. And we desire that Christ would be King of this nation, and that it would be, He would be bowed down to. And Father, we pray that You would so work in this nation, that You would begin in the churches, to reform the churches, to start and send a revival, that You would grant by Your Spirit the pouring out of Your Spirit and power, and that many would be saved, and many would hear the gospel and turn from their sins unto Christ. And this would change, bring change to the nation, that so many would then call upon the leaders and the rulers to be saved. That they would turn to Christ and the good news and believe unto salvation. That they would rule according to Your law. That they would covenant with Christ Your Son, and they would bow down to Him, lest they perish in the way. And so, Father, we pray that Your name would be praised in this nation, and that righteousness would fill the land, because Your Spirit fills the land. And Father, begin that work in us, and sanctify us and cleanse us of our sins. And we pray for our presbytery, as we often do. We pray for the churches in it that need ministers in Houston, San Antonio, and Colorado Springs, and Washington, Iowa, that You would provide ministers for these congregations, that You would raise up the godly, righteous, faithful, zealous, bold men to fill these pulpits, and that You would grant the good news to be proclaimed in these places and in all the places of our presbytery, in the churches and our denomination. Lord, sanctify and reform this denomination, our presbytery, the churches within it, that Your name would be praised, that we would not simply be like some of the kings of old, and stop by just breaking down the altars, but that we would seek out to bring down the high places and the altars and everything that is false within us and amongst us. That Your name, not man would be praised. Your name would be praised. And so, Father, bless us. Guide us. And Father, we pray now as we enter into the spring and the summer months, we pray that You would bless Your people. You would cause us to hope with joy exceeding in the eternity that awaits Your people. And if there be any here who are outside of Christ today, they would hear the gospel and believe unto salvation. That this would be the day of salvation for them, even our children, and to the oldest amongst us. Father, may this be the day of salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.